Chapter 2. Shadow Walker. He stepped off the transport shuttle. A lone man in a long weather coat and a rebreather mask. Unremarkable garb, such as anyone might wear, to head into the smog deeps of Ascension City, down near the planet's surface, where the pollution clung thick and sticky around the base levels of the great tenement blocks and chrome-chased windscrapers of Orlesi's capital. He stepped off the transport shuttle and filed through the perfunctory customs checks using the identity documents in the name of Radomir Niklau, easily able to demonstrate that he was not in possession of any contraband items or Xenos lifeforms. He stepped off the transport shuttle, a lone man in a crowd of hundreds, each with their own purpose and destination. He stepped off the transport shuttle and walked down the ramp, even though, strictly speaking, he had no need to do any such thing. That was how the Empyrean worked, though. So long as the numbers balanced, no questions were asked. There was no surer way to draw attention than to unbalance an equation, even an equation as apparently minor as the passenger tally on a transport ship. So Radomir Niklau left the ship in the same manner in which he'd boarded it, past mirror-visaged proctors with their riot guns and cyber-mastiffs, alert for threats, but completely blind to the one he posed, and disappeared into the teeming medley of humanity and near-humanity that made up the mids of Ascension City. 23 minutes later, he was in a booth in a spider market, sipping a hot, spiced beverage with a higher-than-average caffeine content. The market was so named because it had been built onto the outer skin of one of the towering mile-high buildings, and patrons had to negotiate it by clambering up and down levels like the giant arachnids that apparently lived in the choking smog lower down. It was a precarious existence, both fiscally and gravitationally, and Radomir was here quite deliberately. His contact was late, but not immensely so. They arrived 5 minutes past the agreed time, feet first down the ladder. Radomir took note of that. They'd come from an upper level, suggesting that they were of a higher social status. Unless, of course, they were late because they'd taken the time to climb higher and then descend to the meeting in order to mislead him.
"You are Niklau?"
the new arrival asked. They had a hood drawn over their face, which wasn't uncommon here, since the air held a biting chill even at this altitude. However, shadows held no mystery for Radomir. He could make out skin so pale it nearly gleamed like marble, and a pair of dark brown eyes.
"A.M.," he took a sip of his caffeine. "You are Kel?"
"It's as good a name as any."
Kel cast a nervous glance at the window, which was little more than a square of transparent sheeting, and then down at the floor of hardened, reconstituted organic waste pulp. Somewhere underneath, presumably, were the struts that anchored it to the building.
"What possessed you to meet here?"
"The possibilities for eavesdropping are extremely limited," Radomir pointed out.
It was true enough. The booth was big enough for two people, plus a light-limbed juve to clamber in and serve drinks, then clamber out again. One side was the 3-foot-thick rockcrete wall of the building, and on the other three was the open air. However, Radomir also liked to get the measure of people, and this was a good way to do so. He had few concerns about the location, even if it detached from the wall and began to fall. Kel, on the other hand, didn't like being here. Radomir strongly suspected Kel had never visited a spider market before. Just from that, and his contact's arrival down the ladder instead of up, he was fairly certain his initial impression had been correct.
"Let us be brief," he said, and didn't smile as the lines on Kel's forehead eased slightly. "You have a problem that needs eradicating. I can perform that function."
"Pressure must be brought to bear," Kel replied.
A token flicked out of one sleeve and skidded across the narrow table to come to rest in front of Radomir. He picked it up, between thumb and forefinger, and inspected it. A winged triangle, with 2 stylized stars at the base, and a larger one, equidistant between them. Higher up, space to suggest 2 regular eyes, and then a 3rd in a forehead. The symbol of the Brabantis House of Navigators. He nodded and tucked the token away.
"Members or associates?"
"Members," Kel replied earnestly.
Radomir nodded again, as though he hadn't been going to target navigators in any case.
I will require payment.
Kel's fingers flickered once more, and a small oblong of plant fibre slid across the table.
Radomir unwrapped one side and ran his fingernail down the stack of tokens bound within.
2,000, in high denominations of the local scrip.
The agreed fee was 5 times this.
The rest of the fee will be paid when results are satisfactory, Kel retorted. Fear not, your patron has deep pockets.
The threat in the promise was implicit. You are a tool. If you prove to be a problematic or ineffective tool, other tools can and will be employed to remove you. You are simply the tool we happen to choose, and you should consider yourself lucky to have the work.
Radomir simply nodded for a final time. This payment sufficed,
and his aim would coincide with his patron's for long enough.
Until then, they could think that they owned him.
Then I shall get to work.